while you're yet standing. Yeah. Yeah. So read the book of John while you're yet standing. The book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8. We're still in our freedom message series. Freedom. This is Freedom Hour. 60 minutes of the unadulterated word of God. God is doing some awesome things through his word. You got to say amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these seeds that have been sown into great ground. Everything that has been sown, I pray right now over the person, over the family, over the entire household, that they may receive a hundredfold blessing, plentiful, overflowing, in abundance. And Father, I pray that anybody that has given on this morning gave with the right heart, because your word says that you love cheerful givers. And I don't want anybody to give out of reluctancy, but giving for the benefit of your glory, so that your kingdom shall be made known here on earth, that you may be glorified, blessed beyond measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John 8 and 32. John 8 and 32. It reads, and Jesus says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Come on, let's say this together. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's say it together again. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." One more time, get it in your body. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It won't be on the screens, but for a thought this morning, there's an aroma. There's an aroma. And just take note of this. You smell like you think. Yeah. You smell like you think. You may take your seats. I really want to do a strong teaching this morning, but if the Holy Ghost urges me to do else, something else, then we'll go there. But this message, this teaching this morning has just taken me off kilter. And I can't wait to get to some of this, but I'm going to take it slow and I'm going to be obedient. And we've been talking about freedom, and we've been talking about being set free. And one thing that we've shared, I had to do a recap real quick, 60 seconds, is that deliverance, you heard this many times, deliverance is not what? Come on, don't be afraid to say it. Deliverance is not, okay, some of you didn't say it because some of you still don't believe it. Deliverance is not freedom. So hope this morning I want you to get an understanding, because before we really deal with freedom, we've got to follow what keeps us bound. And what has held us bound for so long has been a word that we know it well called oppression. Oppression. And I've discovered that we as a people have been oppressed for so long that we live, eat, sleep, and drink oppression. You know, we are an oppressed people. Even in the church, even in the body of Christ, we are an oppressed people. Now, you may not say that I'm not in oppression or I'm no longer dealing with an oppressor, but the truth remains that you are, many of us are still oppressed from the relationship with an oppressor. Okay. Well, you say, "Pastor, I've never been in a relationship or haven't been in one so long." Well, you don't have to be with a person for me to talk about a relationship. Some of us in the body of Christ are in relationship, not with man, but with something. Can y'all hear me okay? Amen. Okay. So I want to go down a long list that deals with what oppression is. But first, I want us to go to Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2, Paul talks about something that literally will liberate us only if. Paul says in Romans 12 and 2, says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whew. You can be saved. Watch this. You can be saved in your mind, not transformed. Let me say that again. You can be saved and not have a transformed mind, because being saved is making a decision. Your mind tells you you have to make a decision, right? That's your mind. Make a decision. But the continuation, the process is of the mind. There's a process that has to take place in the mind. So my mind makes the decision, but to stay with that decision, I have to continue on with a process. Are you with me? Right? Your mind can tell you to go left, but you may just turn left and not walk left, right? It didn't tell you to look left. It says go. So I may turn left, but if my mind does not continue to tell me to walk, then all I'll do is turn. And that's what happens at the altar. Many of us give our lives, but we don't continue on with the process. We're saved, but we don't continue on with the process. Paul says, and be not transformed. Watch this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your minds. I like this. This is tricky here. In the body of Christ, write this down. Take a picture, snap, a shot, whatever. Most Christians are delivered spirits, watch this, with oppressed minds. Okay. Say it again. Most Christians are delivered spirits with oppressed minds. Teach, Pastor. I am. Most Christians are delivered spirits with oppressed minds. Most Christians are delivered spirits with oppressed minds. Oh, man, I feel a challenge here. Why? Because, again, we get saved, right? We're Christians. Watch this. But we still have an oppressed mind. I got too much to talk about for me to go on with this one. What is oppression? Oppression is the cancellation of self-determination and the suffocation of personal potential. Let's try it again. Oppression. Oppression will suffocate the life out of you. Oppression will suffocate the life out of you. A snake comes in to what? To suffocate you. To wrap his body around you, around your throat, because that's your breathing conduit. To wrap his body around you so that you cannot breathe. That's a snake. The serpent comes to wrap his body around you so that you cannot function. Boom, that's a serpent. The devil comes to wrap his process of thought around your mind to suffocate your kingdom thinking. If he suffocates your kingdom thinking, then therefore you won't have any kingdom living. Good God Almighty. Whoa, we got to be careful. Watch this. Number two, I'm going to go down this long list real quick. Real quick, I think I got about eight. Number two, the goal of oppression, Satan, is to achieve complete control and domination over the human spirit. Oppression. See, you was looking for a thing. You was looking for a person. No, the person is the oppressor. Oppression is what the person leaves inside of you. Oh, God. You can't take something from the junkyard and put it inside of a brand new vessel and expect for it to operate as if the outside or the exterior of the vehicle. You know why? Because you cannot put an old thing into a new thing. I'm going to tear my voice up all today. I feel it. I feel it already. So oppression is to achieve complete control and domination over the human spirit. Number three, you're writing this down, you're taking pictures. I don't see any pens or pencils writing. Here it is. Number three. Let me talk to you. To control a man, watch this, a community or a nation, one must control the information content that enters the subconsciousness of the mind. If I control what goes into your subconscious, I control your entire life. People that allow man to control, watch this, their mental way of thinking, and they remain, thank you, they call it a cult. There are people, watch this, with titles in the body of Christ, I'm going to help you out, who have biblical titles that steer from the Word of God, tells you, number one, what feels good. Number two, what you should be doing. Now watch this. Once they grab you, they have you. But what you have to take note is, are they feeding me what's already been fed? What's already been fed and laid out in a spread, I'm wrapping, on the table is the Word of God. The Word of God is already there. So the Bible talks about don't add anything to it or take anything away. So when they feed you what's not biblical of God, therefore you know that, spew it out of your mouth, right? Take it out of your mind. It's not for you. And so when you believe that stuff, they take control of your mind. I got to go on. Number four, nothing changes until the subconscious mind changes. Nothing changes until the subconscious mind changes. Well, somebody said, well, since I came up, am I actually saved? Yeah, you made a decision to give your life to Christ. See, the difference is you made a decision to give your life, but you got to make decision number two. You have to make a decision to live this kingdom life, to live saved. That's another decision. I came, I made the first step, boom. God allowed me to come in. Now he says, you know what? The challenge is for you to live this life. Now, God knows, I'm going to steer off a little bit. God knows that you cannot live this life by yourself and do it the way that he said do it. He said it's impossible. It's called flesh. We all have it. Amen. It's called flesh. If you don't have flesh, then you shouldn't be here. And in fact, it's illegal for you to be here, and we're going to cast you out. So it's called flesh and flesh. And so because he's given us a body in the flesh, right, he's got to deal with our minds. Let me move on. Number five. Oppression begins with the destruction of an individual's self-worth and sense of self. If I crush your self-worth, then you'll always have to depend on me. People stay in oppressed relationships because the person that they're in the relationship with so often crushes their spirit down and reduces them to nothing. Now in their subconscious minds, they think that they're nothing. So they say, if I leave, watch this, then I'm never going to be anything and I won't have anything because they're dependent upon the person, which actually is the oppressor. Let me help you out. Even if you leave and don't get rid of the junk that they put inside of you, you will live in oppression in the lifestyle that you come from. Come on now. I ain't got to have on no tie to get your attention. I just need to preach the word of God. Watch this. Number six, here it is. Oppression brings dissolution, right, of a sense of purpose and meaning to life, reinforced by a spirit of hopelessness and despair. Sounds like Satan. Anybody that is not pumping hope into your dream, into your life, into your self-worth, into who you are, get rid of them. Get rid of them, right? They're talking nothing. Now you have to distinguish the difference between positivity, constructive criticism, and just right down putting you down. Folks say, oh man, why are you doubting me? No, I'm not doubting you. I'm only speaking truth. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to set you. Talk to me. Woo! Yeah. People say, oh man, Pastor, you hard. No, I'm talking truth. Because I had to learn that once you receive truth, you'll change your life. If I keep pumping you mental medication, right? Emotional medication. You know what emotional medication is? It's telling you everything that you want, telling you everything that feels good. Somebody has to tell you if you keep eating fried chicken and fried collard greens and all that dough, you're going to die. Come on, we're on a fast. What, we're 24 days in. Talk to me. Oh, God. Oh, sir. Yes, sir, you're going to die. Somebody say, yeah, but I'm going to heaven. Woo! Okay, number seven, oppression produces a deep spirit of what? I just told you, dependency and lack of self-confidence. Oppression leaves you dependent upon the oppressor. That's why so many people stay on their jobs. Because somebody told them if you leave, you're never going to acquire anything. What? Start a business? Why would you start a business? You need your job. You need your money. You need your benefits. No, what you need is the word of God. Because you can have all the money, all the benefits, and still be in a oppressed life. You can still be living, woo, a suicidal life. That's not freedom. Somebody said, well, you need to stay in to get retirement. Let me help you out. Folks that continue to do things that they were not called to do, retire and die. Y'all, somebody didn't like that. Let me tell you something. I'm here to set you free because I'm preaching truth. This is truth. Let's go right here. Number eight. I like it. Number eight. It says, the power of the oppressor, watch this, is the maintenance of ignorance. Ah. If I maintain ignorance in your life, then you will never accomplish anything. For my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The opposite of knowledge is ignorance. Oh, God, you're so good. So that's oppression. What is true freedom? Again, Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. True freedom is, or imposes more laws, demands more work, and requires more responsibility than slavery. That's why everybody don't remain free. I hear you, God. Let me say this. This is why it's difficult for some singles to remain single, because you struggle with being single and whole, and you are so dependent upon a mate, a partner, that you never discover who you are. I shared this with a workout partner the other week. It won't be on the screens. I said, but today's culture and generation is so focused on their image that they don't even know who they are. So focused on your image that you don't know who you are. The paradox. That's an oxymoron. How is it that you're focused on your image and you don't know who you are? You know why? Because you're trying to obtain somebody else's image. He said he created you in his image. So whose image are you trying to discover if it's not his image? His image should be your image. Productivity. Productivity. Let's go here. I'll give you one more here. True freedom is not the absence of work or the cancellation of responsibility. The reason why so many of us are in a rut, and even in the church, is that because we don't want to be responsible. I had so many people with challenges. So many, I'm going to say this. I'm not talking about anybody here. But we've had some ministers and some elders who left the church because they didn't know what to do with their freedom. It's called responsibility. And when you know what responsibility is, you know the reason why you serve. Responsibility lets me know the reason why I serve is not for a title or accolades or pay. The reason why I serve is because I was created to serve, which actually means to minister. Come on, man. What are we teaching? Everybody wants to be in a pulpit. Absolutely not. This is responsibility. That's why everybody came pastor. Some folks are just called to evangelize and not pastor. Amen. When you know you're calling, you know you're calling. Everybody came pastor. I can't pray for the congregation nightly, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Everybody can't take phone calls at 3:30. Let me tell you something. Dealing with the Israelites, their deliverance was instantaneous. They had an instant delivery. Their deliverance was instantaneous. Watch this. But freedom, their freedom, was a process. Moses, by way of God, delivered the Israelites. They was taken instantly out of captivity. Instantly. But their freedom was a process. Their freedom was a process. Their freedom in the wilderness was a training ground so they would know what to do with destiny. Deliverance is instantaneous, but freedom is a process. Deliverance may not necessarily lead to freedom. So deliverance is not the same as freedom. Why? Because, watch this, write it down. Why? Because deliverance is release from the oppressor, but freedom is deliverance from the oppression. See, when God leads you away from that joker, can I say joker? Y'all said worse. when God leads you away from that joker, and joker is not gender specific. When God leads you away from that joker, he delivers you from the oppressor. But you have to make a decision to be set free from an oppressed mind. How's this? A lot of y'all left churches with an oppressor. But many showed up at Beyond Measure in oppression. Oh, and then when things go south, you want to blame outreach, hospitality, the ushers, the pastor, the ministers, the elders. You want to blame the coffee bar. I mean, you want to blame everybody else for your irresponsibility. To be released from the oppressor, but freedom is deliverance from the oppression. Oh my goodness. So deliverance is not the same as freedom. It's not the same as freedom. I'm closing, I'm done here. That's good. There's something in the book of Ecclesiastes I want to share with you in the 10th chapter. It won't be on the screens. You have to dust your Bible off and find it. Solomon wrote some words that filled the book with wisdom for us in our personal lives. Ecclesiastes 10 and 5, actually. I'm going to give you a snippet of a portion of his words. Watch this. He says, "Woe to you, O land whose king was a servant." He says, "Woe to you, O land whose king was a servant." That's in verse 16. The implication is that when a formerly oppressed person, watch this, is suddenly given power and authority, the prospects for good leadership are slim to none. Come, let me bring it. It's like taking a person who's been stopped and now they have a DWI and they go see the magistrate and he or she talks to him and automatically they give him or her their license back.
back.
I said, why can't they just get their license back? Because they have to go through a training ground to have an understanding of why they cannot drink while impaired. The church today is operating while impaired. And it's not the Holy Ghost. It's called emotion. We are some of the most emotional creatures on this earth. I want to give this and I'm done. I'm going to pray out. It's 9:50. My voice is on the end. It's on the end. Come on, bro. Minister David, come on. Yes, sir. Let me high five you now because you're going to hate me in a minute. I want to do something here. Can you do push-ups? Let me ask your wife, can you do push-ups? Okay. All right. I'll give you another shirt. You might sweat them out. Give me 3 push-ups. He crossed his feet. 2, 3. Okay. I'll go 4. Yes. Step back. Stop right here. Give me 3 jumping jacks. It's okay. Yeah. Truly be delivered. We got to let it come out. No, sir. Go on. I'm in there with you, brother. Now, I want you to do like 5 curls with each arm. Okay. Left arm. Yeah. Go on. 3, 4, 5. Turn left. That's your right. Turn left. Turn back facing the audience. Turn right. Turn left. Turn right. Face the audience. What just happened? He took orders, didn't he? I want you to eat now. I want you to eat. And like you're eating. Yeah. No, do it like you really do. Yes. Right. Put the plate down. Drink something. Boom. Put the cup down. Go to sleep. In 5, you're gonna go to sleep. Sleep. You go to sleep. Sleep. Wake up. Go to sleep. Wake up. Go to sleep. Wake up. Go to work. Come back home. Eat. I'm going to do it to somebody get it. Drink. Mm-hmm. Clap your hands. Mm-hmm. Lift your hands. We're going somewhere. Dance. Clap your hands. Lift your hands. Dance. Clap your hands. Come on, give an example of what the church is today. Lift your hands. Come on, dance. Lift your hands. Dance. Lift your hands. Watch this. He needs to be delivered. Watch this. But when he's set free, he will eat on his own. He will dance on his own. He'll lift his hands on his own. He'll clap his hands on his own. Baby, this is slavery right here. But when you've been set free, set free. Ain't nobody gonna tell you to lift your hands, dance with your feet. It's on the inside of you. God bless you. Y'all give Brother David a hand. Everybody standing. I wanted to bring out the old tree and I wanted to bring out the table, but I just didn't have time. God bless you. Amen. This is good. Following prayer with the deacons, the trustees, the deaconess, they'll be at the rear exits here. For those who are on the tithe, going to give an offering, don't mistake the seed for the tithe. Don't mistake the seed for the tithe. Those who are to normally give tithes or give offerings, give them at the back doors on your exit. They'll be standing there with the containers. Amen. I want to pray. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. God, you're faithful. God, you're faithful. God, you are faithful. Even when we didn't even want to pray because of our oppressed minds, you whispered a word to us and said, I'm here. You let us know that you're here through the storm, through the rain, and through the pain. And for that, God, we give you thanks. For that, we give you honor. Now today, that every word that I've heard through the voice and the sound of the preacher, I thank you because I didn't hear from Shannon. I heard from heaven that every word that failed will continue to cover and saturate me so that I be a better man, a better woman, a better companion, a better steward, a better servant for your purpose only, which is the kingdom, your kingdom. God, we are ambassadors. We are representatives of your heavenly place. We are part of your heavenly host. God, we thank you for the ones that have gone on, that serve, that are there as a host, as a cloud of witnesses, that has been here and done it, that we're going through this time. Maybe it's wilderness for someone. Maybe it's a wilderness of health struggles. Maybe it's mental. But God, whatever it is, we want to be delivered. And we want the strength and the mindset to go through this process of freedom. We shall be free. Because you told us in your word, whom your Son has set free is free indeed. God, bless my neighbor. Bless the row behind me. Bless everybody in this place. And even the ones that are tuning in by way of streaming. I speak abundance over your life this morning. That everything that's given by God, that you put your mouth on, that you speak, you shall have according to his will and his riches in glory. God, we thank you. Holy Ghost, continue to walk with us, speak to us, guide us, and lead us in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. What are we sowing? What are we growing? What are we producing? And for the rest of the week, we're going to do what? God bless you. I love you.